And turn to the book of Amos once again. Amos in the Old Testament. It should be Hosea, Joel, Amos. Chapter 4 this evening. We're going to continue our study and answer the question, why do we need revival from the book of Amos? Amos chapter 4. Note there in verses 11 and 12 it reads, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are grateful for the reminder that Calvary, the death of Christ, has covered all our sin, has paid for our sin in full. And I pray there are some that have yet to place their faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour, that this will be the day, the moment, that they make that decision. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. This morning we began a study in the book of Amos, noting why there is a need for revival. And here in chapter 4, verse number 12, this would be considered by many as the key verse within the book, where Amos challenges people to, God's people, that they need to prepare to meet their God, that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And as we began our study in the book of Amos, we began to note some shortcomings, some spiritual sins that were evident amongst God's people as the very reason why God was going to judge. And as a way of application, we noted the fact that these same sins are evident amongst God's people today, within the New Testament church today. And that's why we need revival. We noted this morning that the church is likened to the church of the Laodiceans, then Revelation chapter 3. In need of nothing materially, but desperately destitute spiritually. And that's Christianity today. And we covet your prayers that you would join with us, that God would indeed revive us again for his glory, that the God of eternity will revive you and I personally and revive our nation. Now, we noted this morning that God was dealing with the nation of Israel for their disobedience to the Word of God, the plain teachings of Scripture. And we stress the fact that we are in need of revival because it just seems that we have an epidemic of disobedience amongst God's people. An epidemic is an infectious disease that spreads out throughout a community within a certain time. And I believe there is an epidemic of disobedience amongst God's people today, where just the simple principles of the Word of God are openly violated. That's why we need revival. As I said this morning, why do we have to plead with people to be in church? You know, if we love God, we'd be in church. It's as simple as that. Why do we need to constantly challenge people to be a witness and to read their Bible and to pray? We have an epidemic of disobedience. That's why we need revival today. And also we noted in chapter 2, verse number 6, there was an obvious lack of compassion amongst God's people concerning those that were in need, here in Amos chapter 2, verse number 6, and leading into verse number 7, many were selling fellow Israelites into slavery, which was absolutely forbidden, in order to have their debts paid for. So cruelty prevailed amongst God's people. People were hurtful and nasty. And yet the Bible's very clear that God's people, the nation of Israel, were to be kind and considerate and helpful to another. And in fact, even within the Jewish law, God's people were commanded, those that are poor and needy, you are to look out for them and to provide for them. But unfortunately, this wasn't happening. God's people were biting and devouring one another, so to speak. They were very unkind to one another. And as a result, many were feeling the hurt. And today we have many wounded Christians. Our churches are full of wounded Christians. Now, I understand that we need to take responsibility for how we respond to people's lack of spirituality. And I understand that the Bible teaches us that for those that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. But yet the reality is that sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never hurt me is simply not true. And unfortunately, we have Christians that have been very hurtful with one another. And in many of our churches, we have Christians that are wounded and have been shelved because of that, because they just can't get over the cruelty that they've experienced at the face of a so-called fellow brother or sister in Christ. And we see this in the book of Amos. We see that God's people were nasty to one another, unkind, selling off one another, even little menial debts. People were selling off, the equivalent of a pair to make the equivalent of a pair of sandals. You know, just minimal debts. They wouldn't let them go. So absolutely cruel and nasty one with another. And so a lack of compassion, and I believe we need revival today, because the Bible teaches us that we are to do good to all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. We've got to look out for one another, amen? Yes, it should be normal to expect cruelty and unkindness and hurtfulness from the unsaved world, because they despise our God. But from amongst God's people, that should not be. And that's why we need revival. Unholiness is another issue. And that's another reason why we need revival in 2022. Note there in chapter 2 of the book of Amos, the last part of verse 7, it reads, Amos 2:7, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. Unholiness. We don't need to go into detail. We've just read it. What was taking place amongst God's people? Unholiness. And this is why we need revival today. So it's important to bear in mind, when it came to God's people being involved in idolatry, it wasn't just a matter of them bowing down before some wooden object that had no life. It was a wooden object, but that wooden object also was connected to a temple. So you've got a wooden object, you've got a temple, and if they bowed down to these idols, they were attending these temples, these pagan temples. And part of these pagan temples was immorality. In their rituals was immorality, to breed the spirit of fertility, fruitfulness. And this is what's taking place, see? It's more than just bowing down to a wooden idol. So unholiness amongst God's people. And God said, I'm going to judge you. You know, we just read earlier on there in chapter 4 about the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God was saying to his people that that some of you have been spared, but yet you won't turn back. You know, some of you have been spared from being consumed because of your sin. So we see the principle of unholiness. Note there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 19. 2 Timothy 2:19 reads, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And note then verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Unholiness. We need revival in 2022 because many of God's people are not living holy lives. The Bible teaches us we are to be holy because he is holy. The Bible teaches we are to be holy in body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. How holy is your life? Your body, my body, as a Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:12 it reads, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." In Numbers 32:23 it reads, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Beloved, we need revival. We are in need of revival when we have Christians that are devaluing the importance of holiness. How holy is your life? I'm afraid much unholiness prevails amongst God's people via mediums such as the internet, social media. What Christians read, where God's people go. People we spend with, many of God's people are simply living unholy lives. And that's why we need revival. And God said to his people, "I'm going to judge you because of your unholiness. You have profaned my holy name." God, who is the triune holy God, calls you and I to be a holy people. And as the Apostle Paul addressed the church at Ephesus, he said, "It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." There are some of you, there are some of us that are committing sin behind closed doors. And this is why we need revival. And beloved, I charge you to be holy because God is holy. And we need revival because there is there is so much unholiness amongst the people of God. There is so much devaluing the importance of living a holy life. We watch things that we shouldn't watch. We read things we shouldn't read. We go to places we shouldn't go. We spend time with people that the Lord Jesus would seek to win and influence, as opposed to them influencing us wrongly. May God help us to live holy lives. And another reason why we need revival is because of unholiness. Also note there in chapter 2 of the book of Amos, verses 11 and 12. Look at Amos chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It reads, "And I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But," look at verse 12, "but ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not." God said to his people, "I've raised up spiritual leaders for the nation. I've raised up prophets from among you. In fact, prophets from among your sons," God said. "And I've raised up young men to commit themselves to the Nazarite vow, to portray commitment before the nation of Israel. So God said to his people, I've raised up prophets and I've raised up young men to commit to a vow of purity and holiness and separation unto God. But what have you done to them? Look at verse 12. You gave the Nazarites wine to drink. One of the mandates for one that was willing to submit under the Nazarite vow was to abstain from anything from grapes. And what have you done, said God to his people? You have offered and you've led astray these young men that are to convey commitment by giving them that which is forbidden and contrary to their vow, their commitment. You've led them astray. You've not only led them astray, you've commanded the prophets, stop preaching. We don't want to hear that. Stop that. We don't want to hear that. So God said, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge you. I've raised up prophets and I've raised up men that have committed to the Nazarite vow, and yet you've led them astray. You won't let the preacher do his job, and you've influenced these young men to go contrary to their vow of separation and holiness unto God. In other words, God's people were guilty of leading others astray. Leading others astray. Even though God provided prophets and Nazarites, the people intimidated them and caused them to stray and stopped the prophets from preaching. Beloved, we all have influence to a measure. Nobody is an island unto themselves. We are either leading people closer to the Lord or away from the Lord. And I believe that we need revival in 2022 because many are being led astray in areas of personal purity. Many have been led astray in the area of fulfilling God's will for their lives. And many have been led astray doctrinally by careless, carnal, self-willed Christians. That's why we need revival. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18:6, and whoso will offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So Jesus Christ gave a very firm warning against those that would put a stumbling stone before a young, impressionable child. And I'm afraid we have many of God's people that are not bearing the responsibility that they have to lead Christians onward and upward. They are unfortunately leading others astray. Many will not darken the door of a church because they've been led astray by a so-called Christian. It's not an excuse for personal responsibility. Yes, we all still make choices, but yet it's important that you and I are leading people towards Christ's likeness, not away from Christ. And I believe that we need revival today, because just like within the days of Amos, there were God's men were being led astray. Prophets were told, stop preaching, and Nazarites were influenced contrary to their vows. People were being led astray. That's why we need revival. Go to chapter 3 of the book of Amos. Chapter 3 of the book of Amos. Note there the third verse. It reads, can two walk together except they be agreed? And then we read on all the way down to verse number 6. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion roar, cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or trap is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city? And the Lord hath done it. Seven questions. There are seven questions given from verses, the third verse down to verse number six. With seven questions, God reminds his people concerning events that are inseparable. A second event doesn't happen unless it is preceded with a necessary first event. That's the essence of these seven questions. A second event doesn't happen unless it is preceded with a necessary, essential first event. Now, the first question, there in verse number three, can two walk together except they be agreed? One man has said in relation to this, two do not walk together along a road unless they first meet. When they meet, they are no longer strangers. They converse. They build a relationship. And then they agree to continue on together. There has to be a relationship and common ground if we are to walk together. And God is saying, how can we possibly continue to walk together to his people if there is no longer a relationship? We have nothing in common. So God is addressing his people. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, we like to use the application with one another, and there is an application there. But the context is God and his people. And God is saying, he's asking the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, God is asking the question, how can he walk with Israel and look in favor upon her when she is walking in sin? See, at one time God walked with her because they agreed. They're on the same page. But now the ways of Israel are not in harmony with the ways of the Lord. They are so diverse that there is no fellowship between God and the nation of Israel. Israel was not in harmony with God. Many of God's people are not in harmony with their God today. That's why we need revival. We have people walking contrary to their God. And Jesus called his disciples to follow him. There was a basis of fellowship. He was the essence of why they were to follow him, because he was Lord and Master of all. And the reason why you and I are in need of revival in 2022, because many of God's people are living lives that are so diverse to the will and pleasure of Almighty God. And God is asking the question, how can two walk together except they be agreed? If we can't agree, then we're not going to bother communing with one another. We're not going to bother spending time with one another. And we're definitely not going to bother walking together because we just don't agree. And unfortunately, you and I as God's people have to part ways with so-called believers that are taking a different turn. They change their theology. They make choices that are obviously contrary to the word of God. And God is saying to his people, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is what? No, obviously. That's why we need revival. We need to walk in harmony with God's will. God's will is spelled out within the pages of the word of God. And there are times within the life of the believer when he or she just needs to take a stand and say, I love you in the Lord, but you are walking contrary to the Word of God. And I'm sorry, I cannot walk with you any longer. And that's sad when you've got to do that. It's very sad. And that's why we need revival today. So many of God's people are living in disharmony with their God. We read of old that Noah walked with God. We read of old that Enoch walked with God. Do you and I walk with God? Are we in harmony with God and His will? We go to chapter 6, please. Go to chapter 6. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Then look at verses 4 and 5. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. Verse 5. That chant the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. Look at verse 6. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Pleasure, gratification of the flesh. Note once again what the Lord Jesus said of the church at Laodicea in chapter 3 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, please. Verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So God rebuked this church for their gratification of the flesh. They were rich materially, but they were poor spiritually. Gratification of the flesh, living for pleasure. And as it reads there in Amos chapter 6, verse number 1, woe, whenever you read the word woe, it means judgment. Whenever you read that word, it doesn't mean stop, woe. We say woe there. It literally means judgment. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. We are in need of revival today because we have people that are obsessed with pleasure and gratification of the flesh. Hedonism. The belief that pleasure or happiness is the most important goal in life. And this is what we see today. Instead of God's people heeding to God's warnings, impending judgment, they gave themselves to gratification of the flesh. Note the verses that we've just read. God's people love to recline in expensive beds of ivory. Verse 4, they lie upon beds of ivory. They fill themselves with alcohol and make gluttons of themselves with gourmet foods. Verses 4 and verses 5. And in their drunkenness, they envision themselves strumming stringed instruments like King David of old. Verse 5. Then in verse 6, not content with goblets, they use bowls to consume great quantity of alcohol. And if that's not enough, verse number 7, they pamper their bodies with the finest of lotions and skincare products. All about the flesh, gratifying the flesh. Gluttons, alcohol, alcoholics. Pleasure. Living for pleasure. And didn't the Lord Jesus say in the parable of the four soils, and that which fell amongst thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and the what? Pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. In 2 Timothy 3:4, the Bible teaches us, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In Titus chapter 3, verse number 3, for we ourselves also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. Beloved, we need revival today because many of God's people are living for pleasure as opposed to living for the Lord. Living for the Lord. They're after the expensive products, making glutton of themselves, costing the health system severely. Boy, if we would just go for walks daily and not eat as much and eat the right kinds of food, the health system wouldn't be so under pressure. Amen. You know, it's not COVID that's putting pressure under the health system. It's the pleasure, the gratification of the flesh. You wouldn't have all of these operations that are pending because people have been lazy and overweight and they don't exercise and they eat the wrong things. That's why the health system's overrun. It's true. True. Living for gratification of the flesh. That's why we need revival. I'm not saying it's wrong to sleep on a comfortable bed, but you don't necessarily have to sleep in a bed that's worth $100,000. Okay? A bed's a bed as far as I'm concerned. A car's a car as far as I'm concerned. A house is a house as far as I'm concerned. But God's people were after the gratification of the flesh, pampering their flesh. May God deliver us. We are in need of revival. We could go on and talk about the need to trust God. Note there in chapter 6, verse number 1, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. We can be guilty of trusting everything else but God. And God's people became self-sufficient, trusting in their position. That's why we need revival. Trusting in everything else but God. We need revival. We need a revival amongst God's people of trust in God. The failure to trust in God is holding many back from taking steps of faith. I believe that's one of the reasons why we have so few laborers. Because many are not willing to just trust God. They know God's calling them, but they just won't do it. And maybe you're guilty of that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned trusting God? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes. Trust God. Some of you won't take the step of surrendering fully to God because you don't want to trust God. You trust your bank account. You trust your career. You don't want to get your parents offside because they might not leave you an inheritance by becoming a missionary. May God help us to trust God. Amen. I told you about that parent that said to me, if my son ever becomes a missionary, I'll never forgive you. I had a mother say that to me. And guess what? Her son never did become a missionary. Why? Because of her. And now that young man is no longer in church. He's no longer married.
And often wonder if that woman would just have allowed her son to do what God had called him to do, he'd be on the mission field. He would be represented by one of these boards back here. You need to trust God. Go to chapter 7, verse number 7. The plumb line. I'm almost done, bear with me. Chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. In verse 8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. The Lord held in his hand a plumb line. A plumb line is simply a cord with a lead weight used by builders to make sure that walls are constructed straight. A plumb line was also used to test an existing wall to see whether it was straight. And God said, I'm setting a plumb line amongst my people to see whether they are straight. And the outcome was they were not straight. God said to his people, you are out of line. You are out of line. You are not in line. You are not plumb. And beloved, we need a revival amongst God's people, because many of God's people, if God was to pull out his plumb line upon their lives, they'd be out of plumb, be crooked. That's why we need revival. When you consider the average Christian home, is the average Christian home or so-called Christian home in line with God's word? Is the man of the household leading the home? Is the woman of the household submitting to her husband? Are the children obeying mother and father? Beloved, we need revival, because many of God's people are not living in line with the Word of God. And I don't have time to develop it. If we were to read chapter 7, verses 12 to 15, we need revival today, because in the days of Amos and even in our day, there is the belittling of the office of the preacher, the man of God. We see here in verse number 12 that Amaziah was a chief priest in charge of worship there in Bethel. And in hearing Amos's message of judgment, he sends a message to King Jeroboam, charging him, saying that this Amos is raising a conspiracy against you, King. Amaziah refuses to acknowledge the divine source of the words of Amos. And after writing his letter of disapproval, he confronts Amos and tells him to get out. Look at verse 12. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer or prophet, go! Flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. So he tells the prophet Amos, get lost, get out of here. We don't want you. Go back to Judah. Preach there, make a living there. And Amos responds in verses 14 and onwards and said, hey, listen here. I'm not a full-time preacher. I'm actually a farmer. I grow fruit. And have cattle, sheep. I'm a farmer. And God took me from that to preach to you.
I thought that was a wise response.
It was God that called me to preach, and that's what I'm doing.
And yet Amaziah said, we don't want to hear from you. Off you go. He forbids him from preaching anymore, verse number 13. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, he said. For it is the king's chapel, he said. It is the king's court. And as I've said, Amos responds by telling him that God has called him and that he's preaching to them for that reason alone. I'm a farmer by vocation, not a preacher. This is how I earn my living. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing it because God has called me to preach. We see the disregard and the belittling of the man of God is pitiful here in the book of Amos. And beloved, I believe we need revival today because this same spirit prevails even today. A lack of respect and honor for the man of God. A man of God that gives his life to preach the word of God. That's why we need revival. Oh, we have no problems respecting that police officer dressed in blue, a judge or a boss. But what about your preacher when he stands up and preaches, thus saith the Lord? Not his words, thus saith the Lord. We criticize him, we backstab him, and we say nasty things about him. The belittling of the man of God. That's why many churches don't have pastors. Because pastors have had enough. They serve the Lord for chicken feed. And what do they get for that? Belittling. Beloved, we need revival. Because many of God's preachers receive very little honor. Now, I'm not complaining. I thank God for the honor that I receive here. At least what I think I receive here. But I'm afraid there are many of God's men that give of themselves sacrificially. God only knows how much they sacrifice. I know of men of God that have sold their homes, literally sold their homes, and taken the money from their homes to enable a church to buy a building. I know a number that have done that. And a number of those are no longer the pastor of those churches. Very sad. We need to give honor where honor is due, beloved. That's why we need revival. That's why we need revival. We see within the book of Amos the sins of God's people before us. And I submit to you the same sins are evident amongst Bible-believing Christians. That's why we need revival. Let's review disobedience. That's why we need revival. A lack of compassion for one another. That's why we need revival. Unholiness. That's why we need revival. Believers leading believers astray. That's why we need revival. Disharmony with God. People walking contrary to God's will and way. We need revival. Many of God's people more interested in pleasure and gratification of the flesh and being comfortable. We want to be comfortable. We want soft pews and we want air conditioning and we want everything to just be right for our flesh. That's why we need revival. Trusting in ourselves but not trusting in God. We are in need of revival. Not living in line with the Word of God. As God pulls out his plumb line, the average Christian is found wanting, crooked, crooked. And last but not least, I believe we are in need of revival today because there is a belittling of the office of the man of God. In the world, if you tell them that you're a preacher, they almost laugh at you. Or they don't know what to say. And that's not out of respect. It's not much better amongst God's people, I'm afraid, generally speaking. We are in need of revival. So I encourage you this evening to join with me to pray to the God of eternity. Revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Let's bow for prayer.